There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Brand new week to work with. Love that you're here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Lots to do on today's show, and you're a big part of it. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, check us out over at the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Some of the pictures from last night's parade, I put those up on my Twitter feed. Also, you can catch us at facebook.com at FM Talk 106.5 or /FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, or at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, /FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook. There we go. And then Instagram and all that. No Snapchat yet. Or what's the other one, Dalton? What did you show me this morning? Because you said something about it, and then I heard I had my children and friends of children in the back seat coming home from the boom boom last night, and they were talking about.
Yeah, TikTok.
TikTok.
TikTok. No spaces.
Okay, so parents, if we're trying to stay ahead of the children and their social media platforms, if you're on Facebook, you're like, Facebook is to social media, just if you're looking at it, it would be Revolutionary War period would be Facebook, and this TikTok would be at least the 1980s, 1990s, right?
And, oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And, so, I stumbled across a Twitter thread showing TikTok videos, and it was deeply disturbing.
So there we go. So there's we're not on the TikTok.
No, I don't have plans to be either.
Okay, yeah.
We might have to.
Well, we don't even know how to populate the Snapchat. We're good on the Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, but Snapchat, I don't know really what to say. And TikTok, I just learned about it this morning, so heck, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be a while before we're on TikTok.
All right, just keeping up with things. That's the man you talk to when you call 343-0106. Dalton Norwig's there. And it is time to check in with my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and a real big user of the TikTok app. Hey, man.
I can't say that. I'm with y'all. I'm a little bit confused about Twitter. I'm pretty good on Twitter.
Yeah, you're good on the
Facebook,
Twitters.
I'm kind of tired of, but man, that's far beyond my capability.
Yeah, so it's anything about time that everybody gets. Y'all got to realize, I think most people do, the time we all grown folks get used to any social media platform, we're two layers back. I mean, we're two rewrites of the textbook back.
Oh, absolutely. Once the parents get on, the kids get off. You don't want to, I get that. But I remember when Facebook was just for college students. It actually came out when I was in college. So I'm still going to put myself in that early adopter stage for social media.
Yeah, it's a Facebook for grandparents, Twitter for parents, and then TikTok for our kids.
Well, of course, there's the Nextdoor app. That might be good for you, Sean.
Holy
cow. The Nextdoor app is...
Do you know how much... That's a whole off-air conversation we'll have. How much joy that the Nextdoor app brings to me with the things... There's a few really good things from the Nextdoor app that happen, to keep you aware in your neighborhood. And then there's just a bunch of people that shouldn't have access to the internet.
But, so, that's true.
It's a whole other thing. All right, let's talk about what's on the internet. ALDailyNews.com. That's where you stay online. Tell folks what goes on with Alabama Daily News.
That's right. ALDailyNews.com. We're fresh up with some good stories this morning. Mm-hmm. One story is something I've been working on for a long time. I think we've actually talked about it some. The legislature, the Governor Ivey and the legislature, they're rolling out their gas tax plan this week. Gas tax / infrastructure, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be on Wednesday. And so I went in and did a deep dive into the research and data that those proposing this legislation used to develop it. About 2 years ago, when the gas tax failed, Senator Del Marsh, you know, who's president pro tem of the Senate, he's the leader of the Senate. He told me that after it failed, he called Auburn and Alabama, both of which have transportation research centers. They kind of do different things, but they both have transportation research centers. He called researchers there to say, hey, help us out. Tell us what the real and tell us maybe some possible solutions so that we're dealing with real information and accurate information, not just, you know, numbers from an agency, a state agency, which I think was wise, because what they did, what those universities did, was really dig deep into the issue and provide lawmakers some real data on traffic congestion, how the gas tax has lost its purchasing power over so many years since 1992, what that congestion really means. In fact, my lead picture is the Bankhead Tunnel, a congestion there in the Bankhead Tunnel, which I know Mobile folks are very familiar with, but it's that way all over the state. It's different. Different metropolitan areas have different congestion issues, but it's a lot of it's pretty similar. And when you're in traffic, you lose time. I think Birmingham is the average commuter is in traffic for 35 hours a year. So it's things like that that they carefully researched. And so I just wanted to provide a look into what lawmakers are looking at when it comes to developing this legislation. So you'll find that at aldailynews.com this morning.
Yeah, you got to look at this, and we're going to tell folks how to get that email. And I was reading through it. Okay, so you look at this long-term study. You got Alabama and Auburn involved in the long-term study. You've got all these facts rolled out. But when they do all that, what everybody's wondering is, what's the right number? It's so overly simplistic, but, you know, regular folks, right. What is the number? What's the real number here?
When you talk to these researchers, when you talk to these researchers, they really don't want to get there, because their point is, hey, we're not prescribing anything. We're not telling you how to do your jobs. We're giving you options. So they laid out really what were a series of like seven different options, meaning, okay, you can do nothing. You can do absolutely nothing to the gas tax, and here's what's going to happen over the next 20 years. Or you can go big and be the best in the Southeast, and here's how much that's going to cost. So they really whittled it down to two options, one being the optimized version, meaning we get to be maybe top tier in the Southeast and relieve a lot of these congestion problems. That costs about $800 million, they said. Or you could go with the minimum cost alternative, not getting all the bells and whistles, but still doing enough to remain competitive, and that would cost about $600 million annually. This is what they estimate. Now, those are big numbers, Sean, and I did the math, and we helped out a little bit to see, okay, what does that mean gas tax-wise? Well, mm-hmm. If you were just going to fund that through a gas tax, on the high end, that $800 million, that costs about 25 cents increased gas tax.
Okay, on top of where we are now.
And, that would mean the legislature passing a 25-cent increase in the gas tax. On the lower end, the $600 million, you're looking at a 19-cent gas tax increase. So those are two numbers that are pretty high, maybe some sticker shock attached to that. I don't expect what they announce on Wednesday to be nearly that high. But I still think that Governor Ivey and lawmakers want to get somewhere close to that in terms of real revenue. So maybe look for them to look beyond just the gas tax. Maybe there are other fees and things that they'll attempt to use to get to that $600 million dollar number.
You know, if we go, let's say it's it's 20 cents or 25. Let's go to 25 cents. So 25 cents will put us at about 45, 46 cents a gallon. Not saying that's happening, but if we did that, 46 cents a gallon, which puts us higher than, you know, a lot of states you would assume have high gas taxes, and some that maybe you did. You know, Florida, we all know, we'd be higher than Florida at 41 cents. We'd be darn near Hawaii at 47 cents. We wouldn't be at Pennsylvania, which has the highest gas taxes in the nation. I have a cousin who just came through town, was hanging out with us yesterday, and I was talking to him. He said, oh, yeah, he said, we're up to 58 cents. I just checked it. It's 58 cents, 58.70 a gallon, 58.70 cents a gallon in Pennsylvania. So we're below them. But, I mean, if we go up into the 40s now, I mean, we're above Georgia, we're above Florida, we're close to Hawaii, we're, I think, even above, no, not above California, but we'd be above, you know, probably half the states in the union.
Yeah, and I think what the real comparison there is, and I don't have enough information to really compare it, is what those other states might have as alternatives to their gas tax in order to pay for roads. You know, it could be that some of those states rely on other revenue streams to mm-hmm. maybe to help out with their road and bridge funds and things like that. And maybe that's what Alabama needs to do. If we don't have the political will to raise the gas tax that much to pay for that optimum standard, maybe there are other streams we need to look at. So I would first, when comparing to other states, I would first want to ask, all right, is it just the gas tax? Because here, that's all we have. It's not like some of our sales tax is being diverted to the road and bridge. We're just gas tax. And of course, the federal money comes in. But as far as like what it would cost individuals, remember right now, at our 18-cent gas tax, the average consumer, the average traveler, pays about $99 a year in gas taxes. So if you doubled that, if they went with the low end and doubled that, to, you know, we'd pay about $100 more. So instead of paying on average $99, we pay about $200 a year in gas tax. When you whittle it down to that, it doesn't sound like such a dramatic increase just on a yearly basis. Of course, that's the average traveler. Some people are going to pay a lot more than that because they drive a lot, and some people are going to pay a lot less. But the average traveler pays about $100 a year in gas taxes.
All right, we come back more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Yeah, we're talking gas tax, talking it all hour long. You got to go check out the story from Todd. I put the link up, or you just go to aldailynews.com, and you can look at some of these. He's put some graphs in here and looks at the growth over time here of our population, drivers, also what it would mean, like you just said, if you raised it 20 cents, you raised it 25 cents. And you can check that out, and we'll continue talking about that right here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1222 FM Talk 106.5, and you heard the note there from WKRG and Devin Walsh. That's the same program we were talking about last week and continue to have linked up on our Facebook page and on our website. You can go there about how to help out the families of the fallen float that will be leading the floral parade on Saturday. 27 family members of law enforcement officers killed or injured drastically in the line of duty. Their family members are trying to, this charity, local charity, Families of the Fallen, 501c3 group, a bunch of law enforcement people giving their time, like it's 100% volunteer. All the money goes to these families in this organization. They've said, hey, just to try to give these families a little bit of normalcy and just maybe a second to forget about all the problems in their lives, they're going to put them on a float. And so one of the Mystic organizations donated a float, which luckily already had a law enforcement theme to it. And what we've been doing for the last week, and y'all been great, and big thank you. The Wild Malvillians group, they donated a bunch of stuff last night as well to this Family of the Fallen effort. We're stocking the float. Okay, so they're going to get these families, the nine families, 27 riders, are going to get on the float on Saturday. And like I said, I want them to do the where they have to crawl over, like crawl over the throws to find their places to stand on the float, because they'll have so much to throw. And y'all been great so far. And good to see our news partners at WKRG talking about it as well. More details, Family of the Fallen, familyofthefallen.org, or just check the links out on our social media pages. All right, continue conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And if you want to get that email in your inbox and know way more than any of your kinfolk or anybody you work with, you need to get that. How do they do it?
Oh, it's real easy, Sean. They just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. But right at the top, you'll see a button that says subscribe. Just push that, enter your name and your email. There's no cost. It's free. But you'll be on the list. And so every morning in the 8 o'clock hour, I send out an email that runs down the news, the top five stories from Montgomery or Washington or wherever, as well as some headlines from around the state and all the state's front pages. So you get a good idea of the news that's, you know, coming today to start your day. So, yeah, you can kind of be ahead of the game as far as knowing what's in the news. But it's real easy. Just aldailynews.com. Click subscribe.
All right, here we are, just a little over a week away from the start of session. And, like, I wrote some very bad headlines. Like, I would have thrown in gas taxes on a bumpy road. Or is the gas tax a bridge too far for Republicans in Montgomery? Something like that. But, I mean, so we've got one side that's been saying, hey, this is happening. There's consensus. You've got leadership, Republican leadership, talking about this. And next thing, I see some story that at their winter meeting, the Alabama Republicans voted no.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what they did was officially adopt a resolution condemning the gas tax, essentially saying we don't want any increase in the gas tax period or any increase in any tax period, which if you just think about the Alabama Republican Party, that's not a crazy position for them to take. But in this case, it was a pretty big deal because, you know, here are Governor Ivey, Speaker McCutcheon, Senator Marsh, all the leaders of the Republican Party, all the elected leaders of the Republican Party who have been developing this and are on board with some kind of gas tax proposal, even though we don't know the details. They've all been developing this, and the Republicans know it. So for them to take that position was a pretty, you know, I don't know, kind of awkward step. And there were many in the meeting who said, hey, this is too early. This is not, you know, we don't even have a plan yet. Why would you go ahead and oppose it? And there was also a plan to that Senator Tripp Pittman and Del Marsh were proposing to say, hey, let's reach a compromise here. Let's say if you can raise the gas tax, but you've got to find tax cuts elsewhere, basically like revenue neutral. So, but they decided not to go with that. And instead, this Tom Fedricks gentleman from up in North Alabama pressed his just absolutely no gas tax whatsoever. And Republicans passed it. I think it was about 60-40 was the margin. So, you know, that sends a message that the Republican Executive Committee, at least, is opposed to this. At least the majority is. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, Sean. I mean, I've been asked that many times. This is the same group that came really close to censoring censuring Senator Richard Shelby a year ago. You know, that's crazy talk now.
When he didn't support Roy Moore, right?
That's right. That's right. When he said he could not support Roy Moore after all the sex abuse allegations came out, and the Republican Party, same Republican Party Executive Committee, wanted to censure him and condemn him publicly. They walked off the ledge on that, but they came close to doing it. So that just gives you an example of sort of the nature of that group. They are very conservative. They are very, very much to the right. And the leader of this resolution himself ran for state house twice and lost, and ostensibly campaigned on the gas tax, but voters didn't choose him. They chose the other guy. So I would just remind you there is a little bit of a gap between where the voters are on here in terms of Republicans and Democrats, and where your Republican Executive Committee is, that they're going to be on the right, on the far right in many cases. Looks like they are here too.
Talk about this more in the second half. I have a little second half of the hour to talk more about it, but kind of set this up too. I hear the discussion of the $63 million, you know, backdoor deal here on this, that, well, you know what, if you could take the money that ALDOT is giving to other departments and keep it there, we wouldn't need this tax increase.
Well, I don't think there's any serious person that says that $63 million is enough to fund roads and bridges adequately throughout the state. But what they're talking about is for about 10 years or so, because public safety, the Department of Public Safety, troopers and all that, is funded so poorly, they used a provision within the law that says that road money can pay for quote-unquote public safety. To divert money away and to pay for troopers. Now, that was done 10 years ago when roads weren't necessarily the problem, but man, there was a huge trooper shortage. Mm-hmm. So that's what they do. They move money around. And I think you'll hear a lot of discussion about that, saying, hey, let's stop that diversion and get that money back. And they very well may do that. Might be a good idea. I don't know. But I don't think anybody realistically thinks that 60 or so million dollars is going to magically fix the road. You're talking about a lot more than that that's needed if you really want to fix the infrastructure problems. There are plenty of people who say we don't need new taxes, we don't need to necessarily fix the infrastructure, we're fine just on a maintenance only path. That's fine. People can believe that. That is perfectly legitimate. I think what I tried to do this morning and over the course of weeks preparing the story would show what the research is saying. These university academics put together the research, and this is what it is. This is what lawmakers are looking at, and I like to give readers an insight into what the politics really is about. So check it out. Take it for what it's worth.
Okay, and I think it's interesting. I've looked through it, and I've linked it up for that reason. I want people to do the same and make their own decision. But back to the $63 million, whether it's a part of a total or it's the whole to some, whatever it is, if $63 million has been going to public safety in the form of state troopers, and we already, I mean, every number out there has shown me we have way fewer state troopers than we should. The funding's already anemic there. I mean, if you take the $63 million away there that Aldott's giving them, they're going to need money. Who's going to pay that? Where's that going to come from?
I think that's a great point. What are you going to, it may sound good. Hey, you're robbing the gas fund to pay for state troopers. Well, don't we need state troopers? Look, as we've talked about many times, Sean, Alabama is a low tax, low service state. And there's a reason for that. A lot of people like that. They like living here for that very reason. But it also comes with consequences. State services cost money, and you've got to pay for it somehow. And I remember over the last, probably 8-10 years, they have really cut to the bone as far as the general fund goes in state government. I don't think there's a lot really that can be cut much more. And so maybe that can, maybe that's going to be part of what they propose, but state services cost money, and somebody's got to pay for it.
There it is. Y'all read more over at aldailynews.com. Todd, I have a feeling we'll be talking again this week, and then get ready. You've got your helmet on and all that, your mouthpiece, your chin strap buckled up for Tuesday, right?
Put me in, Coach. I'm ready to go.
There we go. Appreciate it, man. We'll check back soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News. It is all gas taxes hour. A lot of texts and some calls coming in. We'll get those. More gas tax talk on the backside of the news break here. Y'all stay close.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. It's all gas tax all hour long. And lots to talk about here. And I bring in a pro on this. You read his work in Lanyap and Yellowhammer News, Breitbart. Of course, host of the Jeff. Oddly enough, there's a show up at WVNN called The Jeff Poor Show, and he got the gig to do that show. So that worked out nicely for him as well. Jeff Poor joining us now. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you making some time as you're getting ready for yours. Okay, gas tax is, I think, out of the slate of things that could come up during session, this one, and you can test me for the North Alabama side, but down here drives more phone calls, more texts, more emails than anything else.
That's probably true up here. Whatever you throw out, like a wild card, like marijuana legalization or something.
I'm talking about something that could happen, something that's on the agenda.
Statewide, yeah, there's a lot of pushback, a lot of blowback against the gas tax idea.
Okay, so here, and you can help fill in the blanks because you always do, because I heard whether it was Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh or Speaker McCutcheon, or for the last couple of months they've been floating the trial balloons. Heck, they've been flying in the basket underneath the trial balloon, waving at everybody, talking about this gas tax thing is going to happen. The governor's talking about it. Then we get word, you're reporting of the, what is the Alabama Republican Executive Committee at the winter meeting saying a vote that was, 60 to something, that they did not support. They not support, what was it? They actually condemned the gas tax.
Right.
So what's the deal?
There was a goal there to try to get some kind of a brokered agreement. Or Chip Pittman, your former state senator down there for the Fairhope area, tried to work with the guy who's up here, Tom Frederick, to to get a resolution with some little different language, like that recognized that we needed infrastructure permits, and the revenue could come in the form of a gas tax swap. And if you're not familiar with that, the Alabama Policy Institute has an idea, I think some others, that you take a little off the grocery tax and you raise the gas tax. And that way it counters one another and it becomes more of a usage tax. But they didn't get that through, and they just stuck with the original resolution. And what had happened was the Republican Party voted overwhelmingly against it.
Okay, so, I mean, this has nuance, which makes it an interesting discussion, because I'm a person that has railed about the full freight sales tax on groceries for a long time here in our state. So there's a temptation there when I hear API talk about, well, maybe you could trade it out for this, because I go, oh, yeah, because that's something I want to see changed. And it also maybe provides a little bit of defense against people who would say this gas tax increase is going to really hit the poor, you know, harder than anybody, because you can then turn around and say, well, they're going to get some benefit here on the grocery side. At the same time, if we're cutting revenue, as much as I want to cut the revenue for the sales tax on groceries, if we're cutting revenue, how are we magically going to then have the revenue we need to stay static and then do the work on the roads? Am I missing something?
No, you're not. And the idea of raising the gas tax was to bring in new revenue, but you got to cut it somewhere. that's a perfectly legitimate complaint, but we are in a state controlled by Republicans. And Republicans traditionally don't support gas tax or any kind of tax increases, right?
Right.
So the idea is now you're just trying to find some wiggle room and a way out of it. And they just that's the kind of stuff that people are coming up with.
Okay. But I mean, maybe there's something I'm missing. But I want to say, if you're going to go through and you're going to increase the gas tax, but you're going to take revenue away elsewhere, then you're going to be in the same pickle that we're in right now. That you're telling us we need to raise revenue through the gas tax.
I mean, well, not necessarily. A couple of things. First of all, the idea is you take some off the grocery tax, and those that pay taxes in Alabama, that buy their groceries in Alabama, they feel the benefit of the grocery tax cut, right?
Yep.
People that are traveling through Alabama, that are traveling from state to state and stop here to get gas, may not be buying groceries. So the idea is it becomes a true usage tax, and the usage is by the people that may not live in the state, per se, right? And if you take it off the grocery tax and you levy a tax on people that aren't in this state, and people that are in this state will feel it as well. But if you levy it that way, then the burden is spread elsewhere and not necessarily on the individual Alabamians, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. No, it does make sense. But it will be, so it won't be a complete negative reduction, you know, for revenue in that amount. But it will be, you could imagine it would be less. I mean, it has to be less than a situation where you kept, once again, and y'all, I don't like the sales tax on groceries, but if you kept the full sales tax on groceries and raised the gas tax, if they're telling us that's the only way to solve it, but we're going to take another path that won't be completely either way, right? I mean, it'll be, yes, you'll have more revenue. I understand what you're saying, but you won't have as much revenue as you were asking for in the first place.
No, you won't have as much revenue. But if you're looking for a workaround, just consider that. Consider the possibility that maybe the gas tax hike is a lot more than we recognize, but we're going to take it off the grocery tax. Then still, It just depended on what the numbers are. We have no idea what the numbers could be or what they are. But that being said, you could engineer it in a way where you do have that revenue increase. It's just the tax is put on a different, the burden's on a different individual.
Hey, we were talking about this before you came on, and this, and I was looking at your piece over Yellowhammer, and you had an embed from Capital Journal here. And in that, Phil Williams from API was talking about that the sales tax reduction on groceries, but also mentioned the $63 million backdoor or whatever. And I kind of lay that out. Tell us what that is. And because, I mean, it seems like that one also begs the same question. If there's $63 million that we're about to move back into ALDOT that they're giving to another group, wouldn't that other group need $63 million?
Right. So the $63 million is they take it out of the gas tax funding to pay for ALEA, to pay for the courts. You know, when you get a ticket or a DUI or whatever, and you have to go to court for it, well, this pays the court costs. And I think the idea is to take that $63 million, which isn't a lot of money in the grand scheme of what we need for road construction, but take that $63 million out and just make it up elsewhere with court costs or whatever and charge people actually got to use the courts, right? So that's the rub there, though. Like, how do you fund the courts and how do you fund the highway patrolmen, right?
Yeah. I mean, if the reason this money has been diverted to Aaliyah and state troopers is because, and you still hear the stats, we're way understaffed in that department and fewer than we need. You move it over there. Then you go get the money from where? And then do they have to raise revenue some other way to get...
My assumption is that you've got to look at... You've got to look at just another alternative way of funding Aaliyah in the courts. I mean,
So you will have to raise that revenue somewhere else, right? I mean, it is a zero-sum game.
Theoretically, yeah, you would have to raise it somewhere else, but should money from a gas tax be used? And that's the dilemma.
But I think what the average Alabamian cares about, and yes, sure, there's going to be specialty, you know, concerns if you drive a bunch and those kind of things, it's going to hit you harder. But the average Alabamian just is going to consider, are my taxes and overall going to go up, right? I mean, what's the total suite of taxes, the cost to live in Alabama? What is that going to be? Does that go up? And I mean, it can come from different places, but I don't know how you do this without it going up.
Well, I think you're correct. I think your Alabamians are going to pay more at the pump, or just overall are going to pay more. And it's just, that's just what the legislature's going to do. New year in a quadrennium, they knew it was going to be tough. And this is the big first signature issue that they're going to look at. Now, it could go down. I don't think it's a done deal. If you'd asked me that 6 months ago in the throes of a election cycle with no one was running against the gas tax. No one was saying, I'm going to be the guy that's going to go to Montgomery and oppose the gas tax. Nobody. Nobody was saying it. Now, all of a sudden, you have these heroes come up. Now, maybe that kills it. But I just kind of wonder, the reason we're arguing about it now is intentionally done, because by the time the next election rolls around, we'll have forgotten about it.
Well, and that has happened more than 50 times in our state, so I think that's a fair way to look at it. I just wonder, you go back, I guess it was 2 years ago, and they put the reports out, and they being, I think, the, and I may not have the name exactly right, but it's the Association of County Commissions of Alabama or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's something close to that name, if I'm not specific on it. We'll Google it and get the right name. But they put this scorecard out of the roads and bridges in the state, and you know, I don't think I'm particularly naive or a Pollyanna, and maybe that information could all have been fake news in there. But if it wasn't, we have real concerns. I mean, they graded the bridges. I mean, we all drive over bridges. We all drive, not just the roadways and traffic and the glut of all those issues. We're talking about, they were pointing out things that were safety concerns, at least to a guy like me. I looked at them, when you rate a bridge an F and there's no plans to replace it anytime soon, that worries me.
Well, then what do you do? I mean, you got to fix it, and the only way you can do it is you got to find the revenue somewhere. Now, I know this new study that Dale Marsh has put out today, Todd Stacey, I don't know if you've had him on the show.
Todd talked about it.
Yeah, that I think what they want to do, it's going to require more than just the gas tax. You know, we're talking 20 cents a gallon. That's just not going to happen. I think 12 cents is probably more the ballpark of what's feasible. Even then, I'm like, you know, is it going to have the votes or not? So they're going to have to figure out some other way to raise money, and that may come in the form of whatever. You name your vice or name some other kind of tax. But we're not really talking about any of that, are we? We're not really talking about, I mean, what are we? We're talking about a gas tax. We're talking about a diesel fuel tax, or what are we talking about? If you don't, you just hear gas tax, gas tax, gas tax. And I wonder why the conversation isn't more broad and doesn't have more involved. But here we are. We're, what, a week out of the session starting, and maybe we'll hear more about it when the time comes.
Okay. Well, that's a bit worrisome, but we'll talk about this on the backside of the break here. We continue with Jeff Poore, and getting a lot of text here, too. We'll read through your concerns on this gas tax thing. But remember, no matter what of these plans, this three-card Monty game that's being laid out, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? I mean, to be cliche here, I mean, if you move money from here and put it back into Aldott, then that group is going to need the money. And where do they get the money from?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, continued conversation with my buddy, Jeff Poor. And, you know, we wish we could have podcast what happened there during the news break, and you and I bouncing this back and forth, and hopefully between the two of us, we're expressing at least some of the opinions of folks in our state, right? The people are kind of going around trying to understand this, and you mentioned this, and I hear this quite a bit, and you had a good, real good take on it, the kind of distrust. I mean, people say, I like the idea of not having bad roads and bridges, but I don't trust them with the money, Jeff.
Yeah, that's the point, Alabama Department of Transportation has let us down so many times over the state's history, probably over the last 50, 60 years, that there's got to be some kind of transparency or some kind of statute that says, look, this is where this money's going. This is where your tax dollars are going. This is your tax dollars at work. But there's been a real reluctance for that.
Okay. So in doing that, if we do nothing, I mean, I guess, you know, if the legislature does nothing, if they don't pass anything here on, you know, a gas tax wise, then is it just, if something goes wrong, I mean, is Aldott ever going to say, well, we don't have the money to fix that? I mean, we're sorry. I mean, that bridge is, you know, I don't know what's next.
I mean, it almost seems that way now. I mean, just like there's a lot of projects underway in the state that everybody wants. They want 565 up here in Huntsville widened. I know there's all kinds of roads all over Baldwin County that just need widening because mm-hmm. of just the explosive growth down there. I know Birmingham is a disaster. I was in Birmingham over the weekend. It looks like a third world country because of what Aldott's doing with 2059. They have all these projects going on and all these needs. It's almost like they're saying, trying to send a message. I'm not like tinfoil hat saying they did it all on purpose, but just going to shrug and say, we can't do it.
Okay. So the other part of this, too, is the if they do pass it, where the revenue's used. Now, I've had Sonny Brassfield on the show with me before and asked him 2 years ago when this first came up, and I think I had him back. Yeah, I did have him back on here maybe back in December and asked about this again. And he was telling me that the money raised, the new revenue that would come in if they passed an additional gas tax, would go 100% to road stuff, not to administration, not advertising, not building. It would go to asphalt and dirt and, I guess, steamrollers and that kind of stuff. But you say that's not true.
That's not true with this initial proposal. So Bill Poole, who's the House Ways and Means Chairman in the state legislature, he wants to take money out of the gas tax funds and put them toward a Port of Mobile. Now, I know your audience is very pro-Port of Mobile, that's money going back into the state. But to me, it's going to be a very tough sell, especially the people up here, that money's being taken out of gas tax, not put toward roads. If you put toward the Port of Mobile, when they can't actually see tangible benefits, they don't, you know, see the hardcore evidence that this is a positive for the state, because they can look and they can be sitting in traffic or they can hit a pothole. That's something that's, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
Port of Mobile's a much more difficult sell. And I think when we start talking about rural broadband and whatever you want to call quote-unquote infrastructure and the gas tax money being taken away from that, it starts to poison the well, and it's going to make the tax a little, probably a lot tougher to get passed through the legislature.
I mean, maybe, and I don't know. I'm sure there'll be somebody from the port can help enlighten me here, but it seems like there may be other ways to get a revenue stream for the Port of Mobile where I don't see that as much on Aldott and infrastructure. Although I have suggested the lotto will come up in session this year, and if it does, that maybe it should be a lottery for roads, it should be a lottery for prisons, something else. But of course, we know it'll all be for the kids. But it's so. I mean, maybe there's another way you get money to Port of Mobile, but is there another way to get money to Aldott?
Yeah, I think some kind of mix with a lottery. The lottery's not going to raise a lot of money. The ship has sailed on the lottery being the big cash cow it's been for other states, because everybody has a lottery now, right?
Yep.
I I think people still gamble. I you know, you talk to the like the Alabama political reporter guys, Bill Britt, Josh Moon, those guys. They think just legalizing gambling wholesale will solve a lot of the financial woes. I don't think we're quite there yet.
Well, I don't think we get that approved.
Those seem to be the go-to ideas.
Okay. Well, I mean, my argument has been just if we're going to get into, you know, it always amuses me. Lottery's okay, but other gambling's not. You know, I'd say, why don't we just have a referendum on all gambling? Or I've suggested, why don't we have a referendum on legalizing lotteries and let private entities run them and the state can just take taxes? But we know those aren't going to happen. But I just wonder. I mean, it's nothing against, I'm, you know, pro Portamobile. Lord knows, you know, I'm the biggest homer around. But is there another mechanism that would be available for the port that might not be available to the roadways? I don't know that. That's just one of those things.
Well, here's the thing about the port, though. It's a 75-25 federal to state fund matching proposition. And we know who's behind this push. I can tell you right now, it's Richard Shelby.
Okay.
The senior senator from the great state of Alabama is the one getting in Bill Poole's ear and other legislators telling them, you need to put something in there in the gas tax for the Port of Mobile. Okay? Now, he's on the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate. He kind of has this mapped out. But I just don't know that people in, like, you name it, Huntsville, Gadsden, Anniston, places so far removed from the Port of Mobile and what it does, Dothan, are going to be like, you want to raise my gas taxes while I'm sitting in traffic, going through all these potholes, not able to cross these bridges or whatever, and you want to give it to the Port of Mobile? What are you, crazy?
Hey, I would just
respond. That's going to be the response.
Okay, my response and my pushback, and not that they care up there, would be, how'd y'all like our BP money? Or, how about the sales tax that comes through Baldwin County? How about all the money that comes from...
That's all well and fine. I'm not talking of, I'm not talking about the moral demerits of either argument.
Right, you're just like, yes,
this
I know.
This is what is going to happen because these legislators represent these people, and they're going to be the ones voting on it, and they're not going to care about the BP money or the sales tax revenue coming out of Baldwin County. They're going to vote the interests of their constituents, and if that means taking away from Mobile, they're not going to listen to those arguments. So that's the problem, though. You've got to figure out how to overcome that.
How do you overcome that? Do you have any ideas?
Port of Mobile needs to get out in front of this and make a better case of what they're doing. I don't know what that looks like or what it is. It's going to have to be more than billboards put up all over the state about your port. They got to make a case that by dredging the port and making it more where you can have more container ships coming in two at a time or whatever it is, they got to get out in front of this and explain why that matters to the Shoals. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They got to explain why that matters to Scottsboro or why that matters to Tuscaloosa. They're going to have to do that, and then maybe you start to change some minds, and that makes it a little easier for members in the legislature to do so. But right now, I don't see it. I see it just as a poison pill, and I see people like, "No, you're not going to raise my gas taxes to go fund something that I'll never think about."
Okay, I'm going to raise this one of the many questions from the text line, but this is we've got about a minute left here. Steve says, "How does gas tax increase relate to Mobile River I-10 bridge and tolling?" I mean, I think they're completely different conversations.
Yeah, because the money for the bridge and the tolling is already kind of baked in. Like, we've already put money aside for that project, and we've already figured out how that's going to be funded, gas tax or no gas tax. It's these smaller projects, these projects where the county roads and maybe widening some of the roads in some of the urban areas, I think are the ones that they're on these, like, list of wants and to-dos.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to, we'll have to do this when we talk on Wednesday, we haven't even gotten to the other part of the debate is if they do arrive at a gas tax that they can agree on, then watch the metro and rural areas battle it out royale for who gets what.
Well, that'll be the counties versus the big five, which is Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Mobile, Montgomery, and Huntsville, and the League of Municipalities, and you have all these, like, the medium-sized cities. That will be where that battle takes place. It'll be the cities and the counties, essentially.
Y'all get ready. When we keep telling you, this is going to be a pretty interesting session. That's an understatement. Jeff, as always, man, I appreciate your time. Thanks for explaining stuff to us.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
All right, if we don't catch him before, catch him, of course, again at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning when he joins us right here on Mobile Mornings. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Lots to do. Y'all stay close. We got to talk about exercising and ice cream. Yeah, Cammie joins us next.